scriptures come from Genesis, the 7th chapter, verses 13 through 16. And it reads, "On that very day, Noah and his sons, with his wives and their wives, and three sons, entered the ark. They had with them every wild animal according to his kind, all livestock according to their kind, every creature that moves along the ground according to its kind, and every bird according to its kind, everything with wings, pairs of all creatures that have the breath of life in them, came to Noah and entered the ark. The animals going in were male and female of every living thing, as God commanded Noah. Then the Lord shut him in." May God add a blessing to those who hear and abide by his word.
The great I am. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. Amen. Let us be seated, please. Brother Collins, our minister is out of town in Florida visiting with his relatives, and we ask that everyone remember him in your prayers, that he makes it back safely, and remember all of us who are members of the Lord's body that are traveling this weekend, that to and from their destinations, that no hurt, harm, or danger come to us, to them rather, as they travel to be back with us. I want to invite you to Genesis chapter 7, the scripture that was read into our hearing this morning. We're going to do a reiteration of it all before we get into the lesson, and I want you to open your Bibles and mark down some scriptures of practicality that we're going to use. The first one is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, talking about work in the body, and also Hebrews chapter 11, 7. It's Ephesians 4:16 and Hebrews 11:7, 11:7 of Hebrews, speaking a little bit about believing in God and what he says, and what he says will surely come true in this life that we live. And also Matthew chapter 24, in the verse 37 and 38. And point being made there about being diligent in spite of the things that are going on round about us in the life that we live upon this earth. Genesis chapter 7, verse 13, 16, the title of the sermon, if you please, if we have to give it one here, "The Door No Man Can Shut." It's not... won't be hard to understand. We know that the world that we live in this day and time, that mankind and with his fantasies and his superficial stories and stuff, how they try to take the word of God and turn it into something that it's not to doubt, cast doubt on what is and what is not. And we want to look this morning in the word concerning Noah and what prompted God to end all life as they knew it that day and time. And speak a little on the history. You know, Grandma and Grandpa said that in order to know where you're going, you have to know where you've been. And too many times we run through the word, and we have to be careful because it's real easy to misuse the word of God with all the different analogies and examples from the world that men use to twist it in a way, in a manner to suit them. And it behooves us to look before and after, and you know, study to show ourselves approved and know the history of our race, our human race, to better understand what God has in store for us. And you know, there's nothing new underneath the sun. Everything that's happening now has already happened. And just because it has already happened doesn't mean that it's not going to happen again. And we have to be aware of that. So in Genesis chapter 7, verse 13, on that very day, Noah and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, together with his wife and the wives of his three sons, entered the ark. They had with them every wild animal according to its kind, every creature that moves along the ground according to its kind, and every bird according to its kind, everything with wings, pairs of all creatures that have the breath of life in them. And they came unto Noah and entered the ark. The animals going in were male and female. Of every living thing, I'm reading from the NIV, and in the King James it says, of all living flesh, male and female, as God had commanded Noah, and the Lord shut him in. Lord God Jehovah shut the door. What's going on here? What has happened? Something has happened to prompt God, to cause God to end all life on the face of the earth. Every people, every animal, every plant, everything that has life in it, something happened. Somewhere along the line, it all went to the left. What do we know? We know that Adam and Eve, because of the accuser, told that lie, and it was a lie. You don't have to be a genius to figure that out. You just walk outside the door there and turn left, and you look down the street, and the graveyard sitting right there. Told Eve that surely she wouldn't die if they disobeyed God, but that they would become God themselves, or like unto. And, you know, of course, she did eat of the fruit of the tree of good and evil, the knowledge thereof, and gave to her husband, and he did eat. And the next thing you know, they were out of the house and in the street. And they were removed from their place of abode that God had prepared for them. And they, God had gave them man to the command to replenish the earth. I mean, the life went on as it was supposed to, but you know, the grace, that unity, that perfection that we had has now been tainted. And the children that came into this earth now are images, instead of being image of God, of image of man. And we have two lines. And chapter 5 and chapter 6 of Genesis, I'm going to take my time with this because you folk don't believe in about the, I'm not going to spend too much time on that, about angelic beings and coming down to earth. And you know, the sons of God were is the same then as they are now, the men and women of God that serve God and keep his commandments and fear him and escheweth all evil and are living or have chosen the life of the hope of one day being with him. And Adam and Eve and their, as you know the story, their sons, Cain and Abel, and they were worshiping God, and the countenance of Cain fell because his worship was rejected, because he didn't do as God had commanded. And we know from history that it's true because of the way that even today when you have God, his word comes to us and we follow the instructions that he has given us, and when you deviate from it, you have chaos and confusion, and people start making up their own rules and their own regulations, and it causes division. And Cain and Abel became divided. There was a separation there because one gave worship God in a manner that God had commanded, and the other didn't, you know, and he didn't give his best, and he didn't just gave God any old thing, and instead of giving all of himself, he felt in his heart and in his mind that I'm going to keep the best for me. I don't know specifically behind that, but we know that God rejected it, and he became angry and murdered his brother. And because of that, God caused him to be exiled, and he went to dwell in the land of Nod, and he had children and built cities, and you find that his great-great-great grandson, Lamech, had also killed men and then boasted about it. And he decided that instead of following the ways that of God, and you know that in that Adam and Eve, you know, Adam had one wife, his great-great-great-grandson Cain's lineage, his progenitors decided that he was going to take two wives. And you know, they made, his great-great-great-grandsons made tools and weapons, and they had become known throughout that land as being people that were after themselves and living in a manner to the point where they didn't need God. And Seth came along, and in those days we find in chapter 6, when human beings began to increase in number on the earth, and daughters were born to them, and the sons of God saw that the daughters of humans were beautiful, and that they married any of them that they chose, and they had an intermingling of the sons of God from the line of Seth and the sons of man from the line of Cain, and men began to grow in stature and feeling themselves and smelling themselves there, and became mighty and violent and vicious. And God says that it grieved his spirit that he had made man because of this separation that has happened. And we find in the word here that in verses chapter 6 and verse number 3 of Genesis, then the Lord said, my spirit will not contend with humans forever, for they are mortal, and that their days will be 120 years. And human beings began to increase on the earth, and the Lord God saw how great their wickedness had become, and the human race had separated themselves, and they had began to do evil things, and all their thoughts and all their actions and all their speech and was corrupted in their heart and in their minds and in their bodies all the time, all day, every day. And it doesn't take a genius to a PhD to figure that out. Now you just turn on your television and you know that. I mean, you can't even this day and time give alms to a person that's maybe looking for to buy a sandwich to eat. And you find, you can find yourself on top of your car while that person jumped in and driving away. Would you want it? Are you in it? Are you underneath it? And you know, their folks are killing each other and they're killing babies, and they're going into sanctuaries of worship and taking lives, and you have men subjecting themselves to slavery and enslaving other people, and men in high places and men in low places. You know, they kids are running around and shooting each other up and using all kinds of viciousness. And you know, you don't even today have to be out in the midst of them to lose your life. You could be sitting on your couch and watching TV and eating your ice cream, and bullets come through the house, through a wall, through and kill your child while he's playing with his toys. And so that's it's not hard to believe the state of mind that man had fell from this grace, the place that God had placed them in. And so we find here that this day and time with Noah, that on the very day he and his sons went into the ark, amongst all this corrupt people, that God found favor. And I'm, you know, we ought to be thankful for God's mercy and his grace. You know, that the promise that he made to Eve, preserved here in the saving of Noah's family, that our Savior came into the world and the promise fulfilled, and that we may have hope. And we ought to be thankful. You know, Noah, it says in verse 6, chapter 6 and verse 9, this is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God, And Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. And God saw how corrupt the earth had become. For all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all people. For the earth is filled with violence because of them. And I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. And there's verse 16, he says, make a roof for it, leaving below the roof an opening, one cubit high all around. Put a door in the side of the ark. I'm going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens. Every creature that has the breath of life in it, everything on earth will perish. But you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you, you are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you, to have every kind of every bird, everything that has life. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and for them. And Noah did everything just as God commanded him. Then the Lord said to Noah, go in to the ark. Now, I know that Noah and his family, his household, did what God had commanded for. You know, Noah had three sons. There were only eight people that went into the ark, and he had three sons, and each son had his own wife. And I knew that they weren't falling behind the ways of men, because every man had his own wife, and every creature that moves along the ground according to its kind, and every bird of its kind, and they all went in into the ark, and they went in male and female. Note here later on, we're not going to cover that part, but you know, they went in male and female, and when they came out of the ark still male and female, not male and failed. And I just want to drop that in there when in this life, shame for humans, shame. When even the animal kingdom don't indulge or tread in some of the things that we do, shame for us. And we find that God shut him in. And this is where it all happened. God had became it grieved the Holy Spirit, and it grieved God, and he had removed his Holy Spirit from man that were following after men, and their our longevity was cut to 120 years, and the progenitors of Cain and the following after themselves had become so great in the earth that God repented that he had made man, and I'm glad that he found favor in Noah. And the Lord said in Genesis chapter 6 that Noah was a righteous man, blameless for the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. And so God called and said to him of his plan about destroying the earth. And you know, you have some folk today that think that God isn't coming back. The covenant was made with Noah that the earth will not be destroyed again by a water, but there's going to come a day, and it's written in the book of Revelations, there's going to come a day when all the elements, everything that we know, that we've seen, that we've heard, that we can feel, and that we can touch, is going to pass away with a fervent heat. And they're going to be doing the same thing, according to Matthew, that they were doing in the days of Noah, eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage, when that day will come, when God will return, and we're going to be those folks who are not going to be covered in the blood of the Lamb. You know, there's no such thing as praying someone into heaven. When the time comes for you to leave this side of life, and there won't be no coming back. There might be a getting up, but there won't be no coming back here, because all of this will be then passed away. And the Bible tells us that Jesus is not even going to touch the earth. That this is the kingdom. The kingdom is already here. Let us go to Ephesians chapter 4. I know that we make some notes about Noah here and bring an analogy to ourselves, that from him, speaking of our Lord, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. You know, in this day and time amidst, we have to continue to work in a manner that to build each other up in the kingdom of our Lord. You know, Noah, it took them over 120 years to build the ark, and you know they were building the ark, and he's preaching to his neighbors and to his people, and you know they ridiculed him. They called him cray cray, and because he's out there and they're building the ark, and it's and on the outskirts of the cities, and there's no water. It's not near the ocean. It's not near the river. How are you going to get that thing to float? And just like today, people are ridicule you because you believe that we believe that there's only one body and that there's only one Lord, and you know, according to Ephesians 4:16, you know, we have to stay bonded in love and encourage one another and work in such a manner as not to adhere to the ridicule of that's coming from people in this world and trying to stop you from serving God and in the kingdom. And we have to stay diligent in doing so and know what is and what is not, because not to have the wool pulled over our eyes. Because they'll do it, and they'll use the very same words that you're studying to do it, and wherein you have churches splitting because they can't agree on drinking from the same cup or having different cups in communion and breaking of the bread. And I'm gonna tell you, if you follow history and you look back into the days when during the times they would have supper during the times of the Passover, and the loaves of bread were made in large batches, and you had to cut it or slice it or break it, or keep you from choking to death. You know, but that doesn't mean that today, just because we not wanting to break the bread before we're serving it, and already it comes broken, is because of health reasons today. And we know that, you know, if you have any common sense at all, that Jesus didn't pass the same cup around at the dinner table when everybody had their own plate, their own fork, their own knife. It's not anything that's hidden or mystery. They can go back in history and time and find how the place settings were and what was read and They have artifacts and things of that nature, and I'm gonna tell you, a preacher said one time that, you know, I don't mind if they have one cup and they're passing it around, but I want to be first. And woe to the next person when the Bible says, drink ye all of it. So, but you know, we have to work together and build one another up and use the tools that we have on hand to know the truth, because this day and time was filled with all kind of indignations and wiles of men, and they would twist the word of God and cause even the elect to fall from grace. And so in spite of what the world thinks and what it does, and just like Noah, I'm sure, working on the ark, folk called him out and his family and proposed that all they had, you know, that they had lost their minds. I mean, can you see it? I mean, and, you know, men and women in them days, 700, 800 years old, and they looking in inside the ark. Noah, I don't think you even have enough room for all of us to get in there. And, you know, I could see somebody saying, maybe you ought to build too. If, like the younger generation say today, you feel me? You know, if you remember anything about the Mount of Transfiguration, you know, and they would use that. How can it be that all the saved are in one body? And from a physical standpoint of view, they can't comprehend this. And so we have to study and show ourselves approved and work in the body to help one another to grow in spirit and in knowledge so that you don't be fooled. And, you know, it's not cool being a fool. And but I can see it, those old guys, and, you know, they're looking at Noah and looking at his sons and probably calling Ham, Ham, eh! You know, your daddy smelling that pitch that he putting on there, them vapes hitting him, and y'all building this thing, and there's no water around, and you know, they'll ridicule you in a jokingly manner, and subconsciously at the same time attacking the spirit that lives within you. And you have to be careful, because it does matter who we hang around with and what we think and the speech that coming out of our mouth. I was in a grocery store shopping, maybe for some gumbo one day, I don't know, and they had a little girl playing in the aisle at the cash register, and she was, I'ma tell you, I begged my mama one time for something, one time more than what I was supposed to, and she's a short lady, and so when she turned around with the right hand signal, I was in the basket behind us in another lady's basket, and I'm telling you, Sister Lee, my mother, God bless her, I wanted to, that child was in that store and she was acting up, and her grandmother was there with her and her mother, and they told her to be quiet. And she said to her grandmother, no, you shut up. My hands started shaking. Lord, don't let me hit this child. They're going to take me to jail. It hurt. It hurt really bad. Her grandmother was in one of those robo chairs in a wheelchair that's mobile, and she didn't blink an eye. No, you shut up. And that's what's coming to today. And when we don't utilize the tools that God has blessed us with and to study and to come to Bible classes and learn, because if you don't ask, you're not going to know. Even the Ethiopian eunuch had to ask, well, who is this man that I'm reading about in the Old Testament? And I mean, if you don't ask, how are you going to know? There, you know, we all are not on the same level, and you have to utilize every single avenue that God has given through his mercy for us to know him, to fulfill that. In Hebrews chapter 11 and 7, I want to bring out the second point. You know, Noah believed God. He believed in what God had said, and I know he believed God because he didn't hesitate. When God told him to build the ark, he didn't ask him, what's an ark? He didn't beat around the bush with it. Can't we use another different kind of wood? Or, you know, who's going to do the cooking of that dinosaur tar? You know, he Bible says that he immediately began the work, and he did all that God commanded him to do. He believed God in spite of everything that was going on around and about him, and the people rioting and killing and murdering and stealing, and he stayed diligent and did the job that God had commanded him to do. In Hebrews 11:7, it says that, and God, when he speaks his word as is, what he says he will do, surely it will happen. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness. Noah went into the ark and was in there for 7 days, and not, I want to make that part of this. You know, that's believing in God, not to get ahead of myself. You know, if you look at all of the stories when they talk about Noah, and they speak about, I don't know how I missed that as a child, but this is how, why, and the reason why we need to study God's word. Immediately you think that he went in and the floods came, but the Bible doesn't say that. If you read beforehand, and you know that in the beginning of chapter 7, Noah and his family and all the animals and everything that went in the ark, they were in the ark 7 days before a drop of rain hit the ground. I mean, can you see it? You're in your house and you're getting ready to leave out, and the news is on, and today is 70% chance of rain, and you got your galoshes and your raincoat and your umbrella, and you walk outside, and 5, 6, 7, 8 hours pass, and not a drop of rain. And on the second day, 30% chance rain, and nothing happens. And the next day, 0%, and then it rains here in the city of New Orleans. But not one drop. In there for 7 days with all those animals, the door shut. And the people outside laughing and calling out your name, and you in there. It's hot. I'm sure they have to eat, and the door is shut, and a whole week goes by. He had to believe in God. I mean, I know we live in a day and a time of right now. It's too easy. I know one of my doctors had told me that, you know, if you want to lose weight, Mr. Patrick, all you have to do is stop eating so much. Said, you know, in my country where I'm from, food is expensive and it's hard to get. But here everything is cheap, and we got a lot of it. And you know, he said, use some self-control. And and you're going to be all right. And I'm sure that you know, Noah and his family, he believed God, and you know, he had patience and waited on God, and then he didn't doubt in his mind, because they had a window. I didn't read anything about him trying to open up the window to get a little air or to squeeze out of there. That, you know, the rain hadn't come yet, and us, we don't have that patience. We have to have, you know, in Matthew chapter 24, you know, it says that as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage up to the day that Noah entered the ark. And so, therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. The toils of it all yields by the sweat of a brow. We have to be aware of where we are. We have to be aware of who we are. We are children of the Most High God. And we have to sometimes be patient and wait on God, because we live by his time, not by our time. And you have to know that and believe and have faith that what he says he's going to do for us, that is going to happen. And if you don't believe that, then you're gonna miss it. We're gonna miss it. And what's the moral of it all? So must we grow in our faith in God, and must grow continually daily, and putting our hope in the way of salvation, and trusting in God and his mercy and his grace as Noah did. I want to let us all turn our Bibles to the book of Revelations, chapter 3. Chapter 3 and the verse 7. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write these. Are the words of him who is holy and true, and who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. The door is open to our generation. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the door, the way, the truth, and the light. And no man cometh unto him, to the Father, but through him. And we entered into his body, and he transplanted us into the kingdom of his dear Son, our God the Father. And one day, just like in the days of Noah, God is going to shut the door, and everything, including time itself, will cease to exist. And God calls us today to enter in, to come, whoever so will, into his kingdom. I want to leave with us today that if you have any qualms about being who we are and where we're going, the thing that we must hold on to is the hope that is within us, the choice that we have made. God has given us a beautiful thing in being able to choose him. And we, in this life that we live, there's so many things that's going on, and we forget that the accuser, his goal is not to deceive, just to deceive Adam and Eve, or deceive mankind, but to kill every last one of us. And today, if you don't walk circumspectly and be careful, in the 1 second you walking across the street, and it only takes a fleeting moment, And we need to remember who we are and where we are at all times and be ready. Not even Jesus knows the day when. He said the Father gonna tell him when that day comes, and then he's gonna come. And so I wanted to leave with us today. Jesus Christ is that door. And that same blood and water that came out of his side on Calvary saves us from our sins today, just like the water saved Noah and his family in his day and his time. And that door is open to us, but one day, God is going to shut it. And there'll be no more hope. I was reading one day about the end times, about the day of judgment, and I ran across in Revelations where it says that the angels were taking the souls that were separated, where God had placed his children that was going to enter into his rest on one side, and everybody that's condemned to experience the second death on the other side. And the angels were taking those souls and throwing them into the fire. And I asked Sister Ricard, I said, Mama, I said, why are the angels throwing the people in the fire? And she said to me, son, who want to go? Who wants to go in the fire on their own? Anybody? And you know, it's real. It's as real, sure enough, as the day is long. And you have to believe that. Don't let mankind today, with their fantasies and their superficial stories about metaphysics and science, to take you away from what is. God is, and he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him, and we must never forget that. Even in this generation, this day and time that we live in, and experiencing the same things that Noah and his family did. And that's our message for this morning. We stand it now. And I want you to assert your hearts and your minds and know that don't let the accuser steal away from us the things that God has given and given freely, and sacrifice his son, and out of love and out of his grace and mercy, and has given us the right to the tree of life. Don't let the devil take that away from you. And in some form, fashion, reason that he has, this hour, this time, this day, we can get it all back by repenting. As the brother come forth.